2 year Africa. On everyday living affairs from the African perspective. Ujivo na Radio Student.
Good morning, everyone. This is 2 year Africa, a show on everyday living affairs from the African perspective. Welcome to the show. My co-host is Raj George.
Good morning, Slovenia. How are you? Nice to meet you again to our show, 2 year Africa. My name is Raj George. Morning, Fred. How are you?
Man, I'm feeling good. Thank you.
That's nice, that's nice. Today sound a good day, eh? Sunny day.
Sun is time to travel to Africa to enjoy the
sun. Exactly, exactly.
Well, before we continue, we're going to give you our first song. Let's move on with the African vibes.
Very important personality. The people are your quality. I'm part, obey, or quit the beauty. Same old feeling, same old checky, same old diggy. Okay. Or draw home at ya, ne wanna ma fuck at ya.
Today's show is gonna be a little bit tense, Fred, right?
Yeah.
Actually, our show, it got a little bit changed. We thought we were gonna talk about the rights of African women in Africa. But as we all know, the most important person in this world, he's very, very, very sick. President Nelson Mandela. What are we gonna talk about, Fred? Well, what are we gonna try to touch?
Well, we will be talking about the life and legacy of Nelson Mandela, the former president of South Africa, and we will tell our listeners who is this man and what he mean to Africa and to the world.
Exactly.
And also, we are going to hear from our guest, all the way from South Africa, and also Mr. Babake.
He said he's busy today, so okay. He said he can't manage to do it.
Yeah, okay.
He said he's busy.
So we will have our Sally from South Africa online to tell us more about Nelson Mandela.
Yes.
Hosanna, 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 Hosanna,
we are back again from the short break. Sally, are you there?
Yes, I am, George. Yes. I'm sorry I was late.
No apologies. It's normal. So how is Cape Town?
Cape Town is beautiful this morning. The sun's shining, but it's cold.
So I want to say hi to Slovenia before we continue.
Good morning, Slovenia. I hope it's a lovely, lovely day there, and nice to be back again.
Well, Sally, it's nice to have you here. Don't forget, this is 2 Year Africa, a show on everyday living from the African perspective. It's good to have you again. And as you know, today we will be talking about the life and legacy of President Mandela, former president of South Africa, and the anti-apartheid leader. We will have a short, brief history of him, and then we put you back on air.
Brilliant, super. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's lovely to be back again.
Okay, all right.
Well, to our listeners, you know, this is 2 Year Africa, a show on everyday living affairs from the African perspective. Today we are focusing on Mandela.
Yes.
The father of
nation.
Nation. The king of Africa.
King of nation. King
and the leader, the best leader of the world, we say. Well, to briefly tell you about Mandela, Nelson Mandela, as he's known, was born in 18th of July, 1918. He's South Africa anti-apartheid revolutionary and politician who served as president of South Africa from 1994 to 1999. He was the first black South African to hold the office and the first elected in a fully representative multiracial election. His government focused on dismantling the legacy of apartheid through tackling institutionalized racism, poverty, and inequality, and fostering racial reconciliation. Politically an African nationalist and democratic socialist, he served as the president of the African National Congress, ANC, from 1991 to 1997. Internationally, Mandela was the Secretary General of the Non-Allied Movement from 1998 to 1999. He was born to the Tembo royal family. Mandela attended Fort Hare University and the University of Witwatersrand, where he studied law. Living in Johannesburg, he became involved in anti-colonial politics, joining the ANC and becoming a founding member of its Youth League. After the Afrikaner Nationalists of the National Party came to power in 1948 and began implementing the policy of apartheid, he rose to prominence in the ANC in 1952, defending defense campaign. He was elected president to the Transversal ANC branch and oversee the 1955 Congress of the People. Working as a lawyer, he was repeatedly arrested and seditiously activities. And with the ANC leadership was prosecuted in the treason trial from 1956 to 1961, but was found not guilty. Although initially committed to non-violent protest in association with the South African Communist Party, he co-founded the militant Umkhonto we Sizwe.
Umkhonto we Sizwe.
Oh, we Sizwe. Thank you, because this was... Well, in 1961, that was leading a bombing campaign against government targets. In 1962, he was arrested again, convicted of sabotage and conspiracy to overthrow the government, and sentenced to life imprisonment in the Rivonia trial. Mandela served 27 years in prison, first on Robben Island and later in Portsmouth Prison and Victor Vasta Prison. An international campaign lobbied for his release, which was granted in 1990 aimed amid escalating civil strife. Becoming ANC president, Mandela published his autobiography and led negotiation with President F.W. de Klerk to establish apartheid and establish multiracial election in 1994, in which he led ANC to victory. He was elected president and formed a government of national unity in an attempt to defuse ethnic tension. As president, Mr. Mandela established a new constitution and initiated the Truth and Reconciliation Committee to investigate past human rights abuses. Continuing the former president's liberal economic policy, his administration introduced measures to encourage land reform, combat poverty, and expand healthcare services. Internationally, he acted as mediator between Libya and United Kingdom in the Pan Am Flight 103 bombing trial and oversaw military intervention in Lesotho. He declined to run for a second term and was succeeded by his deputy Thabo Mbeki, subsequently becoming an elder statesman focusing on charitable work and combating poverty and HIV through the Nelson Mandela Foundation. Well, Nelson Mandela has it all.
Yes, Nelson Mandela has it all. He's a strong man, powerful man, help the nation, help the poor, make sure everybody live equal. All right, before we go back to Sally, we're going to have a short song, a quick break, and then we move on. Is it okay with you, Sally?
Brilliant.
All right, so we're going to have a quick short song, and then we move on. Here we go. Maiboye Mama Yi Africa. The song is coming from Chimora. You know, they were praising Africa. We want all Africa to come together, to be united. Africa, you know, no discrimination. A song from Chimora. my boy, Africa. So, Fred, we are moving on, right?
Yep.
Yes, as we are moving on, so now we are crossing over to Cape Town. Cape Town.
Cape Town is ready, willing, and able.
Right, right. We hear that. So, Sally, we want to ask you to tell us what Mandela mean to South Africa. And his sickness, what does it mean as well in South Africa? In case if he passed away, what does it mean as well in South Africa?
Okay, first of all, we call him here in South Africa, we call him Tata, which means father, okay? Uh-huh. And he's the father of the nation.
Uh-huh.
And the man just blows me away. I mean, what he did, okay, people don't understand. They do not understand. It's, if you don't live in South Africa, you can't understand the meaning of what Tata did, okay? He got put in prison for absolutely nothing, for fighting for the right in his own country to be treated as a human being, okay? He gave up everything. He gave up, I mean, he was a lawyer, okay? He was one of the first black lawyers to actually work in a white firm, all right? And he actually went to court and he represented white people, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, one of them was a lady that had been raped, an Afrikaans lady who'd been raped. And he was one of the representatives. Now, anyway, they put him in jail, okay, for, as far as I'm concerned, nothing, absolutely nothing, except the right, the fighting of his rights in his own country, for the rights for his people in his own country, okay? He was out on Robben Island, which is, I mean, it's the most desolate place. Okay, there is nothing there. Okay, and he was there doing hard labor. He had to chisel blocks of rock out of limestone, okay, in a quarry. Cool. With no protection. So all that dust and everything got into his lungs. He ended up with TB, okay. I mean, his life in prison is just, it's a miracle, okay? The things that he did and the way he treated people and everything. Even his warders, okay, were blown away with the way that he was, okay? And the way he treated people and the calmness and the dignity and the fairness and everything. Anyway, he gets out of jail eventually, okay, and he's freed. And the South African people, the black people, were waiting, okay,
mm-hmm,
for a sign from Mandela when he got out to say revenge. Mm-hmm. And there was going to be a bloodbath, okay?
Wow.
They were just going to wipe out the white people. Okay, he walked out of that jail, and when they said to him, the nation was calling for him to make a speech, okay, and the police and the security people turned around and they said, no, you mustn't. And he walked to the podium and he made the first speech of his freedom, and that speech was, I forgive, we're moving on. I'm not saying that's exact words, okay, but the whole meaning of that speech was,
yeah,
I forgive, we move on, we unite, we come together as South Africans under one flag, fighting for one nation. Do you know that the nation just stood still? The people had this sort of shocked look on their faces, okay? But this man has been treated like
Okay, Sally, for an example, you're saying like black people in South Africa, they were waiting for Mandela to be free out. So when Mandela say revenge, they all go to revenge, right? But as I understand, he's in a critical point of life, Mandela. It's a matter of other way. If he's alive, thank God, but he's not going to be as much as strong as he was like last year, right? So it's like things are coming to the, you know, every song has a beginning and every song has an end.
Yes.
But if Mandela, let's say he passed away, do you think black South African, are they going to turn on white people in South Africa?
No, they won't, okay? There is the Afrikaner people, okay, the Afrikaner white people that are spreading rumors through emails and flyers and all sorts of nonsense, okay? That is going to happen, and they call it the Night of 1,000 Swords, 1,000 Knives, okay? They have cut off areas like outside Gauteng, outside Pretoria, in the Orange Free State, and the only people that are allowed inside there are white Afrikaners. If you speak English like me, you are outside, okay? And inside there is only white Afrikaners, not even the dustbin guys, not even the postman, not even the street cleaners can get inside there, okay? Everything is done by white Afrikaner people inside there. They have armed themselves to the teeth, okay? They have been training, certain sections of them have been training and all this kind of business.
Is this true what you're saying or what?
Yes. They have a prophet, you know, like the Da Vinci thing, okay, that the world knows about. Now, the Afrikaners have a guy that they call Sienna van Rensburg. If you Google that, okay, you'll see. And also Google Boer folk, and you'll see everything there, okay? Now, the only fear that I have is that they will get all hyped up and stupid and start doing stupid things, okay? I'm not worried about the black people. Not at all. I never have been. I mean, I couldn't believe this when about 5-6 years ago I found out about this, okay? Mm-hmm. I thought, this is a joke. But although they hate Mandela, they want him alive because they reckon once he's dead, then we are finished, okay? So, I mean, It's unbelievable. It sounds unbelievable.
Sally, you know, let's make our brains a little bit relaxed. It's so intense what you are saying. So we're going to go a short break. What do you think, Fred?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, there's something to... Okay, when you come back, I hope, you know, Fred has got something as well to try to find out from, you know, South African people. You are the one in South Africa to tell us more. Okay, short break. Here we go.
Ah,
so for all those women so no me ma who see see won so my come with a party chairman open all him my work but ya ma do do I'm a for when him so do pay free akume mo ni mo yan as o sika na so wa ho fe do free there no do ye so ko and be out to ma ko mu bia ma me ho popo it ta send to pass one the home oh it na me do do then he bring open that there bando do boy ya ni big ya for sweet so sa wa ya straight kakra ya down home so on chairman I'm sure when you are back straight at down him my dad down home so on chairman I'm sure when you are about what I'm sure when you are
Welcome back. This music is a Ghanaian music. I hope you're enjoying it. We still have Sally online, and Sally, can you hear?
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, we would just like to tell you to move a little bit away from your microphone in order to give us a quality sound.
Is that better?
Yeah, it's good. Thank you.
Okay.
Sally, going back, taking you back a little bit to the legacy of Mandela. In South Africa, he is the father of the nation. He is a well-known man, the number one in the nation. But in the world, what does he mean for the world, for the international community?
What I think he means, okay, is a man, a very humble, very outspoken, very direct man, okay, that knew his own limits and that knew what was best for the nation, okay, and he had a vision of how to get what he wanted for the nation, okay?
Okay.
He's just a man, okay? Yes, he's going to pass on eventually, okay, like we all do, but the legacy he leaves behind touches people. I mean, ordinary people. A lady that lived in a shack that had a daughter that couldn't, that had something wrong with her face. They call it a hair lip, okay? Her face was disfigured. Mm-hmm. And she wrote to Mandela incessantly, and nobody would give him the letter. Anyway, one day the letter appeared on his desk inside his private mail, okay? And he opened it, and within 5 minutes, he had a foundation started called the Smile Foundation. He contacted a guy that he knew, a very, very wealthy man here in South Africa, a Mr. Lubner, and he said, right, I want you to set up a medical team to take care of this little girl, okay? I'm off to see her. He got up from his presidential desk, got hold of his chauffeur, got into his car, okay, and went to this lady's shack to see for himself.
Man of the people.
Once he had seen the little girl and everything, okay, I mean, he knew straight away that it was going to get sorted. What man, even the guy, the white man, Mr. Lubner, okay, that he contacted, all right, he said it took him about 3 or 4 hours to actually realize that this was real, okay? He said, because what president, during his official day, okay, picks up a telephone and does what he did? He said he thought that it was just some trick or something that somebody was playing on him. He said because he couldn't get it into him that this was the actual president that had phoned him during his day, okay, mm-hmm. in at work, all right, to start a foundation and get a medical team together to operate on this little girl. And since that day, 1,000 kids have been helped with that foundation. If they've got facial distortions and everything, okay? I mean, this man was unreal. His chauffeur, from the day he came out of jail, okay, a guy was volunteered to be his bodyguard and his driver, okay? Until the day he left office, it was still the same man. And it was a man that lived in Grassy Park outside Cape Town here, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is a very poor and very, very run-down area where they put the colored people in the Cape Malays from District 6 during apartheid. And they put them into one of these places called Grassy Park. It's crime-ridden, it's gang-ridden and everything. Anyway, the guy came from there. When this guy's daughter was born, okay, the first thing when he went to go and pick Mandela up that day, okay, Mandela said, right, in 4 days' time, we are going to go, I want to see your daughter. He went to the man's house to go and pay respect to his wife and his little girl, who was only 5 days old.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you get a man that does that sort of thing?
Well, he's the man of the people, as we see it, man of the nation, father of the nation, and internationally he has shown respect even to those that persecuted him during those days.
Oh, yes.
And now I want to go further with the question. South Africa, for example, it's in a nation-building period. And, you know, my question is, if eventually Mandela departs from this Mother Earth, what do you think will happen in South Africa? Do you think there will be a state of uncertainty and insecurity in South Africa?
I don't think there'll be a state of insecurity. I just think that the nation will be deeply, deeply affected, okay? Actually, during this period, okay, this last, I'd say, what, 3 weeks? Well, 2 weeks, okay? People are slowly coming to the realization that he is a human being and he will pass on, okay?
Yeah.
So it's actually... It sounds rather nasty, maybe, okay, but it's what the nation needed. They didn't need to know he's alive today and passed on tomorrow. They needed this time, okay, where they could publicly mourn for him, not only mourn for him, but they could publicly rejoice in his life and everything he's done for them. So we're getting a lot of outside his Houghton house, okay, outside the hospital where he is, and outside his Vilakazi street house in Soweto, mm-hmm. We're getting a lot of people gathering and singing and dancing and paying their respects and praying, okay, and all that kind of business. So it's actually, yes, we will be a nation that will be at mourning, okay?
Okay.
But at the same time, the strength in the... You know, it's strange. The people have suddenly realized, hang on a minute, this man is going to go, okay, one of these days, all right?
Yeah.
We have to stand strong and carry on his legacy. And they seem to have come back together again. You know what I mean? His legacies now, okay, are more important than they were 2 or 3 months ago. You know what I mean? People have again come back and focused on what he saw for South Africa and what he wanted for South Africa.
Okay, if I may cut you there, you know, you mentioned something very important regarding Mandela and the people of South Africa. Now, I have something. Something concerns me. The land reform in South Africa. Do you think this will continue to be the policy, a key policy of the South African government?
Yes. You see, there's a lot of work going on with that land reform, okay, that is not spread out, okay, is not publicized, okay. And they've had a lot of negative things happening as well. And they've learned from the things that they did wrong, which was they were taking people, or the land was being acquired, okay, and then somebody would apply to go on that land, and they'd put the person on the land, and they didn't first make sure that the person would be able, if it was farmland, to carry on farming, okay?
Yeah.
And then they found out that the guys were just acquiring the land and then renting it out to somebody else, and the owner of the land was back in Gauteng or wherever, okay? And they found that the land was underutilized. So they revised all that. And what they are doing now is people that are going onto the land, farming land, have to be farmers, because the fear is that we're going to end up like Zimbabwe, where we can't feed our own people, okay? So they are making sure that the guys that are going onto the land, they're giving the land to people that have been through the farming colleges and all that, and they're making this available to the poor, you know, just say a poor farmer or a poor guy wants to be a farmer, okay? They're giving them bursaries and all that kind of business to put them through these colleges, okay?
Okay.
There's a lot of work. You see, the paper, the international press don't go into this, okay? I mean, there's lots of black farmers in Limpopo, okay? And they're women, right, that have started off with nothing.
Sally,
and they've got
Sally,
yes.
We're gonna make short break. We'll come back. We're coming to the end of the program, so we're gonna put a short break inside, and then we'll come. We'll line up the show. Okay.
Quite fine.
All right, because we have a short time, so we have to go do according to the system.
Yes.
Yes. So I'm really sorry because you know this how it has to be. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. There's a song.
Ah, Baba, monoti matu mesro here, Baba.
Aisi go mes and the zozo zino dainini.
Ah, saga Baba, musu zozo amuruki itelei.
Ah, musu zozo amuruki itelini. Iyo unozia mvumbi. Mvula inona 6-6. Ndo zileta zubagela zangu. Doku beta manji so. Yenda zwako shamwari kumba kwako. Mudiwa wangu, mudiwa wangu.
Forget, guys, you are listening to 2A Africa alongside Radio Student. As we are coming to the end of the show, so we got some few stuff to say from Sally. Sally! No, that's not the problem.
Okay, Sally. Well, before Sally comes back, I have to ask you, Sir George, Raz George. To you, Zimbabwe is closed on neighbor to South Africa.
Yeah.
It's closed on neighbor to South Africa and almost the same people.
Yeah.
In your opinion, what do you think about Mandela and in the wider Southern Africa? What can you tell about Mandela?
What I can tell Mandela is so big and so much, because for me, Mandela, when I just hear the word Mandela, I freeze a minute. Like, okay, you mean Mandela, the guy who spent almost his dirty life in prison and fighting for his rights, like Sally says, she said. So for me, Mandela, he's like my God, you know. So I follow Mandela as a bishop of the nation. You know, who gives people the right choice of life, not putting people in poverty, but make sure the poorest man he can rise to be in the upper class. You know, this only one thing I liked about Mandela. He understand the word of a man who's suffering to raise his kids to go to school. He liked children so much. Really, for Mandela, I tell you the truth, he's my father of the nation.
Okay, thank you about that. I think every other African or Southern Africans share the same view. Mandela, even when he got out from the prison and was elected as president of the first black president of South Africa, he only finished first term. And he said, look, it's time for the nation to move on. Somebody else need to take.
Yes.
He didn't stay there to be, I am the father of the nation. I got South Africa out of apartheid regime. Now I will be the president for life. But he showed an example. Here is it. Thabo Mbeki carry on. And he gave way to other people to.
Exactly.
And since that time, the government has changed from Thabo Mbeki to...
I think if you have done your part, you know, you learn to pass it over. You know, greediness, I guess, is not good. That's what makes Mandela as well a great man. He wasn't a greedy man. He did his part and then he found out, no, my part is done. Somebody else must carry on. And I think that makes him a big man. Sally. Sally.
Okay,
all right, it seems like we lost Sally here and then we don't know what's going on. But anyway, so you had something wanted to ask Sally, yeah, right? Okay, she's not here as well again. Oh, she went away. So we know, ladies and gentlemen, the most important person, Nelson Mandela, we don't know on which position he is, but he is in a critical position, and we all praying for him. God to help him on his way, which is feeling pain. We wish he could live longer, and we still need him. A person like that, I think he mustn't leave the world very soon. Well, it's the people that still need you. You know, you leave such a pain. What do you think?
Well, I think he has done his greatest share in the world. He has given South Africa and to every other person in the world, he has given something every person has to hold on. And he has also shown leadership. He has shown a sense of Africanness. I think the African leaders should copy the examples of Mandela.
That's true.
Be a true African, a true Pan-African, and don't stay there till you die on the seat.
Exactly.
Give people chance. Respect your citizens. Know that they give opportunity to the last person to become what God has created him or her to be. And try to make peace in the world. Because I can imagine, like Sally said, people were expecting Mandela to come out in the first speech and say, kill all those apartheid people. And he didn't do that. He didn't do that.
He said,
he acted in a way to bring reconciliation, to bring forgiveness, and to move South Africa forward under one flag as a nation, and to help Africa as well. Because if he had gone the other way, the whole Africa would be in a disaster. But he chose the forgiveness part, the reconciliation part. So he is somebody that all African leaders and all African people should celebrate, whether alive or dead, should emulate, whether good or bad, because he has shown leadership. And this has to be, this legacy has to be alive.
Yes.
On this note, Ras George,
From me, I'll say Mandela, get well soon, and thank you very much to bring one love into the nation and into the South Africa. Ras George, may I say ciao ciao, see you next time.
Well, before we go, don't forget this is 2 Year Africa, a show on everyday living affairs from the African perspective. We would like to hear from you. Always remember to drop us a line, if not too much. Send us which music to play for you. At 2 Year Africa, AFNA Radio Student Pika C. We thank the radio student, we thank the crew of 2 Year Africa, and we
Sally.
Thank Sally for being here with us over Skype. And we give thanks to our listeners that they are the most important ones.
Yes, listen.
Bye bye to you
all. Slovenia. All right. This is the song for Bye Bye. Yes,
Ena, me vino, Ena, a while now me flow through the window. A same way, they are kinda saying,
What?
Shut up, I wanna don't check me, see you come, and run out.
On everyday living affairs from the African perspective. Ujivo na Radio Student.
Oddajo Tuja Afrika podpirata Urad za komuniciranje in Javni sklad za kulturno dejavnost.